Thank you, Diana and Mark, and thank you, Bill. Last Sunday afternoon, we celebrated the homegoing to heaven of Bill and Anna's dad, and glad for all of you that could do that with us. Under his wings, we're safely abiding, even when we're at a funeral, and even when we're at a wedding. Had a funeral last Sunday afternoon for Bob Henshaw, celebrate his 92-year life, and then yesterday we had a wedding back at our first church in Kansas and celebrated the love that God gives us, not only from Him to us, but from us back to Him and for one another. And as we were singing Under His Wings, I'm Safely Abiding, I'm thinking through funerals, weddings, hard times, happy times, everything. Marvin mentioned that in his prayer at offering time. The Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. He's so faithful to protect and provide and guide. God is good. You know, 21 years ago, the Lord led us to tear down a house that was here and build this building and move in. And the carpets lasted 21 years. Most of it has. And we're thankful for that. This building has over 10,000 square feet, and all but about 1,000 square feet are carpeted. And as the Lord has provided for us to be debt-free as a church, we can also pay for this carpet. We're thankful He's provided for that. And again, if you'd like to help with that, that's great. Don't feel pressured. As the Lord provides, we give back to Him. I'm so thankful for what we're going to look at today. You can join me in Luke chapter 11. Last week we had communion together and we talked about God's great gift of forgiveness, so full and free towards us. We looked at 17 different ways the Bible says we're forgiven and how God has taken our sin away. And Jesus bore it and gives us His righteousness in the place of our sin. The Lord has saved us and redeemed us and forgiven us so that we can have a relationship with Him now and forever. And today we're going to talk about conversation with Christ. We are called to a conversation with Christ. We are made for fellowship with the Lord. Jesus exemplified, He explained, and He exhorted us regarding conversation with God. And so our topic today, Jesus leads us into it in both Luke 11 and Luke 18, is the topic of prayer. And it follows very well on what we talked about last week. We are sinners, separated from God in our sin and in our guilt, and God so loved the world that Jesus came to bring us back to Him. Jesus exemplified a prayer life, so much so that it was contagious. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. One day Jesus was praying. Jesus prayed all through the Gospels. Jesus prayed all through His life. He prayed alone and He prayed publicly. And Jesus prayed at all the pivotal points in His ministry. He prayed at His baptism as His ministry began in Luke chapter 3. He prayed when He chose the 12 disciples, Luke chapter 6. He prayed when He did miracles like feeding the 5,000 in Luke chapter 9. He prayed at the beginning of the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke chapter 9. He prayed for His disciples again and again, Luke 22 and other places. He prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22. He prayed even from the cross, Luke 23. Jesus, man of prayer, in constant fellowship with His Heavenly Father. Jesus prayed sometimes standing up, sometimes sitting down, sometimes walking, sometimes lying down. Jesus prayed brief prayers. He prayed long prayers all through the night. Jesus prayed prayer times that were set aside. Jesus prayed prayer times that were just casual conversation, even in the midst of busyness. And the disciples noticed the dynamic of Jesus' ongoing conversation with the Heavenly Father. And so we're not surprised that on this occasion in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus prayed in such a way that it was contagious. This particular follower said, "Lord, I want to know how to do what you do. Your prayer life is powerful. Teach us to pray." Just as John the Baptist also taught his disciples. So in verses 2 through 4, Jesus gives the model prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. It's a little bit abbreviated from the version in Matthew, you'll notice in your Bible. The words are the same as Matthew, just a few less. In some of your translations, some of the words may be down at the bottom of the page. But Jesus not only exemplified prayer in such a way that a disciple was hungry to do what Jesus did, but he also explains it here. What a simple prayer. We make it far too difficult. We make it far too hard. We pray far too little. We are involved in a spiritual warfare, and the last thing the devil wants you to do, along with tell somebody else about Jesus, is talk to Jesus. Those are the two things the devil wants you to do least of all. Talk to Jesus and talk about Jesus. Maybe that's why those two things seem so hard to do when they really should be so simple. From the full version of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, I will quote, and you can follow along here in Luke and see that it's slightly abbreviated. All the essentials are there. "Our Father," Jesus taught us to pray, "which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Jesus exemplified prayer and he explained prayer when the disciples said, "Teach us to pray," and this is the answer to the question. It has helped me over the years to remember a simple acrostic about pray. What is praying? What is prayer? P-R-A-Y. Each element is right here. Prayer, first of all, is the letter P, praise. Second of all, it is the letter R, repentance. Third, it is the letter A, asking. And fourth, it is the letter Y, yielding. All four elements are in this model prayer. Let me say it again. What is prayer? Prayer is praising, which includes thanksgiving. It is repentance, which includes confession. It is asking, which includes interceding for others. And it is why yielding, which includes committing ourselves to the Lord and to His will for our lives. P P-R-A-Y. It's that simple. And Jesus gave us a model example prayer here that is so simple. Our Father, it's personal. Hallowed, it's praise. Thy kingdom come, remembering God's promises to us. Your will be done, remembering God's providence, His will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, petition. Forgive us our sins, we need pardon. Lead us not into temptation, we need protection. It begins with praise, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, praiseworthy, high is your name. And it concludes with, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Jesus made prayer that simple. Like Jesus' example, prayer for us can be a set-aside time that we might call a quiet time, a prayer time. But more often than not, in our busy schedules and in our busy lives, our prayers are casual, conversational with Christ, recognizing His presence at all times, everywhere. We can pray literally at all times, anywhere, everywhere. You don't have to shut your eyes. You don't have to bow your heads. Prayer is an ongoing, open conversation with Christ. Him speaking to us by His Spirit, us speaking to Him in prayer, Him bringing to mind the many things He's told us in His Word, and us responding. Prayer is so simple. Jesus told us, don't pray with repetition in the sense of vain, meaningless babbling over and over and over again to think God will hear me if I say it 20 times. He talked about that in Matthew 6. Jesus taught us to pray sincerely and short, to the point. God gets it the first time. In fact, Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you're going to ask Him even before you ask it, let alone before you think it. So you say, well, why should I pray? Well, because God created us for conversation with Him. He talks to us in His Word, and by His Spirit, we talk to Him in prayer. Practicing the presence of Jesus all the time, everywhere, good and bad, up and down, whatever mood we're in, pouring our problems out to Him, pouring our praise out to Him, it's an ongoing conversation. Jesus prayed a lot by example. He explained a lot about prayer, and then He also exhorted us in two parables that we'll see here in Luke 11 and in Luke 18 on the importance of persistence in prayer. Not vain repetition, but persistence in prayer. God's children are to be people of persistent prayer. Look at verse 5. Remember, Jesus has been praying. A question has been asked about prayer, and now He tells a story to help exhort us to be people of prayer. Jesus said to them in verse 5, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. I have a late-night guest. I don't have food in the house, so I go to another friend and ask for a little bit of help here in being hospitable to my surprise guest late at night. The friend inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Verse 8. Jesus said, I tell you, though the bugged friend who has the food will not get up and give him the bread or the food because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, or literally persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus is a master storyteller. And in this parable and the one we're going to look at in Luke 18 in just a moment, Jesus takes a selfish guy who won't help a friend out because it's not convenient to contrast with a heavenly Father who is never selfish and who is never asleep and who is never uncaring. And Jesus is making a point. This unwilling to share, this unawake, uncaring friend will eventually get up and supply some food because he's sick and tired of the other guy banging on his door late at night. So Jesus says he will finally, though unwillingly, answer the request just to avoid being bugged. All right, now, verse 9. So I say to you, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone, anyone, Jesus says, who asks, receives, he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Jesus has been praying. A disciple has asked on behalf of the other disciples, teach us to pray. Jesus explains a model prayer we know as the Lord's Prayer, and then he tells a story. And the point is, persist in prayer. Because unlike the wicked guy in the story who is reluctant to share, God is a willing, wonderful Heavenly Father who is never unawake and never uncaring. And by contrast, you ask God, you seek, you knock, and you will be answered, and you will find, and the door will be opened for you. Jesus is a master storyteller. Sometimes he takes a good guy in a story to illustrate a spiritual truth. This time he takes a bad guy in a story and says, in contrast, your heavenly Father will answer you. I mean, if a selfish, sleepy friend will only answer you because you keep knocking on his door late at night, you keep knocking on God's door in prayer. Because look at verse 11. Again, the contrast. Which of you earthly fathers, Jesus says, if your son asks for a fish, you're going to give him a snake? Or if your son asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion? An egg's a good thing unless you're Bev Reed, and that goes back to Thursday night. Verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, Jesus says. Jesus always speaks the truth. He tells us he loves us. He's honest. He proved that he loves us. He demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. But he's also very honest with us. He pulls no punches. You are evil. We human beings, our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can understand it, the scripture says? Fallen race, soiled by sin. If you then, though you are evil, Jesus says, you know how to give good gifts to your children when they need it, when they ask for it. Here's the point. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is speaking in contrast. He says, in my story, the unawake, uncaring friend will finally get up and give food to his friend because of the friend's persistence. So Jesus says, you persist with a wonderful heavenly Father, and he will answer you. You will find him. He will open doors for you. He will provide good things for you. After all, if earthly fathers a week before Father's Day, who are selfish, can still do good for their kids sometimes, how much more will your heavenly Father, who's always holy and always good, give even up to the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That is an amazing thing. When Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give even the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And for those of us who receive Jesus, God is so good and gracious that he gives us himself by his Spirit. Jesus says in John 15, I will come to abide in you. My Father will make his home in you. He's talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And why did Jesus say the Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit? Because there could be no greater gift. This is God giving us himself. You say, I'd like $1 million. Listen, I'd like $1 million too. But you know what? $1 million is nothing compared to the eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, sovereign of heaven and earth, very God, giving himself to us and his presence to us by his Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. There's no greater gift. That's why Jesus worded it this way. You can ask God for all kinds of things, but there is nothing greater that God could give you than himself. That's why Jesus worded it that way. So Jesus prayed all the time, and it was contagious, and the disciples wanted to know how to pray. And then he tells them a story about keep on praying, keep on praying, keep on praying. Persist in prayer because your heavenly Father's wonderful and he cares and he will answer your prayers. Now let's go to Luke 18, verse 1. Here is another story of Jesus on persistence in prayer. Last week we talked all about how wonderful God's forgiveness is towards us. When we ask Jesus to forgive us and we accept him as our Savior, our forgiveness is full and free. He paid a terrible price to give us a free gift so that we can be in conversation with him, fellowship with him, walk with him, and have the Lord as not only our Savior, but our shepherd. Now, Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples, his followers, his believers, a parable, a story, to show them and us that they should always pray and not give up. I like it here in Luke 18:1 because before we even get into this wonderful little story, Jesus has already told us, his followers, why he's telling us the story. Sometimes we don't find out till after the story. Like in Luke 11. This time we find out before the story. Oh, okay, Jesus is going to tell me a story, master storyteller, and the point of his story is that I should pray to God, pray to the Lord, and never stop praying, never quit persisting, never give up, no matter what I go through, don't stop talking to God. It's God's will, it's Jesus' will that I carry on a continual conversation with him. He made me for this purpose. Christianity is a highly personal faith. Verse 2. Jesus said, "In a certain town there was a judge, a wicked judge. He didn't fear God or care about men." We have any judges like that in the United States? Verse 3. "And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to the judge with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" This widow is obviously helpless. And somebody's taking advantage of her, an enemy. All right. Jesus goes on with the story in verse 4. "For some time, the wicked, selfish judge, who cared nothing about God or people, refused to help the widow. But finally, the judge said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God, I'm all wrapped up in me, and even though I don't care about other people, because I'm all wrapped up in me,'" verse 5, "'yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.'" The judge is saying, "I am wicked, I don't care about God, I don't care about justice, I don't care about people, but this widow in this town is wearing me out. Therefore, I will give her what she needs, give her what she's got coming to get rid of her." Jesus tells some interesting stories. Verse 6. "The Lord says, 'Hey, you all, listen. Listen to what the unjust judge says. Listen to the lesson of my story.'" Verse 7. "By contrast, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, his children, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you," Jesus said, "God will see that they get justice and they get it quickly." So in both Luke 11 and Luke 18 this morning, Jesus has done the very same thing in two stories. He has contrasted a wicked, selfish person with a wonderful, giving, listening, caring Heavenly Father. And at the end of verse 8, Jesus says, "However, God will answer prayer. God will take care of his children. God is awake. He's never asleep. God cares. He is never uncaring." All of this about God. "However," end of verse 8. "In the future, when I, the Son of Man," both the Son of God and the Son of Man, his messianic title, Son of Man from Daniel, "when I, the King, come back." Isn't it interesting, before Jesus ever left the first time, how often he talked about coming back, coming back, coming back. Brother Bill at the scripture reading time read a few verses from Matthew 24. Matthew 23 and 24, before Jesus goes to the cross, he's talking all about what it's going to be like before he comes back and how he's going to come back. Jesus says with certainty, "However, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth?" Oh, I love this. Jesus' point is, You don't have to worry about whether God is there or whether he cares. God is there, he cares. Jesus says, what I'm wondering about and what you might wonder about with me, will anybody have the faith to pray to him? That's the point in the context. The issue is not whether or not God is there, God hears, God cares, God answers prayer. That's not the issue, Jesus says. Believe me, he does. Remember Luke 11? If you knock, he opens the door. If you seek, you find. If you ask, he answers. In fact, God will give to you what you need, what he knows is best for you, even up to giving you his Holy Spirit, his very self. But Jesus says the question is, at the end of verse 8, when I come back, will there be any faith on the earth? In other words, 2,000 years from now in Springfield, Missouri, is there still going to be anybody praying to me? That's the issue. Folks, sometimes we're tempted when we're talking to God to think, is he there? Does he hear? Does he care? Jesus says, that's not the issue. The issue is, are any of my followers, are any of my children expressing enough faith to pray about whatever their need is? The widow had a need. The friend in Luke 11 had a need. Through all this time until I come again as king, will there be faith enough on the earth? Will I have any followers who are talking to me about what they need, what they want? Anybody communicating with me? That's the question. The biblical question from the Lord to us is not, will God answer my prayers? The biblical question to us is anybody asking him? Go to Romans chapter 8 with me. You say, well, Pastor, you say praying is simple. Can we make it even more simple? Romans 8, 26 and 27. You say, well, Pastor, what if I don't really know what's best to pray for? Well, God's got that covered. Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. This is the great theologian, the great missionary, the great witness, the Apostle Paul, admitting that he sometimes feels weak and doesn't know what to pray for. You ever find yourself in such a situation? You're looking up, but I don't know how to get out of it. God, I don't even know where to begin. Okay? Paul says, in our weakness, in our finite, limited understanding, sometimes we don't even know how to pray or what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit himself within us as Christians intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, deeper than words. Verse 27, and he who searches our hearts, our heavenly Father, knows the mind of his Spirit within us, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Pastor, what if I pray wrong? The Holy Spirit makes it right. You cannot go wrong as long as you pray, because if you are praying for yourself or somebody else and you pray for the wrong thing, God the Father knows what's right. God the Holy Spirit within you knows what's right. And if you ask for the wrong thing, He'll straighten it out. And the only way we can fail at prayer is to not pray at all. This is amazing. You say, I don't pray because I don't know how to pray, or I might pray wrong. Sorry, Romans 8, 26 and 27 takes that excuse flat out away from you. You don't know how to pray for somebody, say, Lord, in the way that you know is best, help me or help this other person or help this situation. And guess what? God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what He wants to do. He knows how to do it. God, the Holy Spirit within you, God, the Father, we're praying in the name of Jesus. God will answer the prayer right, even when we don't know how to ask it right. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Jesus told two stories to teach us that we need to persist in prayer. It doesn't mean five times a day a morbid sounding horn has to go off and you have to drop flat on the ground. Prayer is continual. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't stress about anything. This is a supernatural book, people. It calls us to a supernatural highway to live our lives, the high road. We live in a world of problems. We live in a world of stress. We live in a world of fear. God says in the Bible to His children, do not stress, do not worry, do not be anxious about anything. And we say, God, are you kidding? Okay, here's what you're supposed to do instead. When you're tempted to stress and be anxious and worry, which we all are, instead, in everything, all the time, every circumstance, every situation, instead of stressing, in everything, pray. And petition, ask. And give thanks by faith in advance. Do you see that in Philippians 4, 6? Jesus tells us two stories to persist in prayer, persist in prayer, persist in prayer. Romans 8 tells us even if we pray wrong, God will straighten it out. He just appreciates the effort. And in Philippians 4, 6, we worry all the time, we stress all the time, we're anxious all the time. Every time you're tempted to stress or worry, instead turn it into a prayer. And ask God, petition, and thank Him at the same time. Remember P-R-A-Y, praise and thanksgiving. That should start every prayer. In the model prayer, it ends it too. In everything, pray. Turn your worries into prayers. Give your requests to God at the end of verse 6, and guess what God will do for you? Verse 7. Are you a child of God? Verse 7 is what God wants to do for His children. If you will take your stress and turn it into a prayer, God will give you His peace, which transcends or passes all understanding, and His peace will guard your heart, and it will guard your mind, it will guard your emotions, it will guard your intellect, it'll guard your thoughts, in Christ Jesus. And the reason that we have so little peace is because we pray so little. And I feel like weeping. The reason that we have so little peace is because we do so little praying. And Jesus said, the question is not whether God cares and hears and answers. The question is, all during this time I'm gone until I come back, is there going to be any faith on the earth? Is there going to be any disciples, followers, children of God praying? That's the question. So, I don't know how to pray. Just talk to God. Pour out your feelings, pour out your thoughts, pour out your heart. The Holy Spirit will take the prayer and make it right. And the peace of God will fill your life when you take your worries and turn them into prayers. Now, this takes continual praying, because I can tell you, as I go through my day, I probably worry twice. That's a lie, isn't it? I worry twice before I ever get out of bed in the morning. I wake up on Sunday morning and I say, it's Sunday, I'm worried, I gotta stand in front of those people. You better believe I turn that into a prayer. If we took everything that made us anxious, stressed, or worried and turned it into a prayer like the Bible tells us to do, I guarantee you'll be praying all day and all night, because you and I, in a sinful, wicked, fallen world, we worry all the time. We worry about situations, we worry about people, we worry about the future, we still sweat over the past, even though we shouldn't. Jesus calls us into a continual conversation with Him. That's what prayer is. Jesus prayed publicly and privately. We pray privately, we pray publicly. Jesus prayed in every position. Sometimes He looked up, sometimes He looked down. Sometimes His eyes were closed, sometimes His eyes were open. It doesn't matter the position. It's your heart, and God knows your heart. We saw two stories from Jesus today. Jesus told the two stories to teach us to persist in praying. Lord, thank You for being patient with us. Thank You for telling us stories to help us understand. And Lord, remind each of us on an ongoing basis, when we are tempted to worry and stress and have anxiety, God, please, remind each of us to turn our stress into talking to You. And Lord, we need Your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Lord Jesus, You said, in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. I give You peace, my peace. Not as the world gives, give I unto You. Be not afraid. Lord, give us Your peace as we give You our prayers. And Lord, I pray for all of us that we'll be people who pray all the time. Help us to practice your presence. We know you're with us. We know you hear us. Lord, help us to pray all the time, everywhere. Talk to you. Know you're with us. Know you care. And Lord, thank you that you've told us you neither slumber nor sleep. Lord Jesus, thank you for showing us and telling us, show and tell, that people ought always to pray. And thank you, dear God, that you made us so that we could have a personal relationship with you. Lord, if there's anybody in the room who's never said, Jesus, be my Savior. Save me from my sin. Come into my life. Give me your Holy Spirit. I pray that right now you'll help them to pray that prayer to you. And I thank you, Lord, that whosoever calls upon your name is saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. Lord, teach us to pray. For your glory, for our good. Amen and amen. Let's stand together.
Let's all stand, please. Number 361. 361, only trust him. Number 361.
Come, every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson blood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joy's immortal flow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will. will save you now.
As you and I take every problem that ever comes to our minds and we turn it into a prayer, watch out what God will do. Every problem that comes to my mind, I turn it into, God, take care of this in your wise, wonderful way, and leave it with him. Watch out what God will do. Persist in prayer. Have a great Sunday.